I'll call the October 20th, 2009 meeting of the Sussex County Council to order. Approval of agenda, Mr. Baker.
You have several suggested changes. First, item four under myself, proposed bylaw revision. We don't quite have that ready yet, so I'd like to defer on that till next week. And then second, Michael Izzo, Angola Sewer District Bid Award. Mr. Izzo asked for some more time to complete that review. So with those two items, that's all I have.
Okay. Does council have any other amendments to the agenda? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
You got it.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the agenda as amended. Any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Approval of the minutes, September 29th and October the 6th, were in your packets this week. Are there any changes? Without objection, I'll consider the minutes approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Hutt.
There is a thank you note here addressed to Mr. LaCates and Nicole with a special thank you to Councilman Cole. And it states, I would like to thank you so much for the interest you took in me concerning repairs on my model home. It was a pleasure to deal with you and Nicole for taking time to help fill out my application and typing my request. Really looking forward to the help you're sending. Also for sending Mr. Mike Jones, also a pleasure to deal with. So grateful for the help I will be receiving, and so grateful and looking forward to a warmer winter with new windows and a roof that doesn't leak. Thank you, Martha Gormis.
Any other correspondence? If not, Mr. Baker.
Okay, the first item we have is a presentation by the United Way of Delaware. And with us today, we have Mr. Ted Becker from Lewis.
Yay.
Ms. Michelle Taylor, who is, I think, President and CEO of United Way of Delaware. And Mr. Michael Shockley, who is from Sussex County, with United Way. And they asked to explain about their program here.
Hi. Thank you all for having us this afternoon. I am Ted Becker, and I am co-chair of United Way for the state of Delaware for this year. I'm joined by Diane Goulis of DuPont, who was co-chair for handling upstate. I primarily have the responsibility for Kent and Sussex County. United Way has a goal of raising $20.5 million this year to help those in need in our state. Historically, this campaign has focused in Newcastle County, and about 95% or more of the funds raised have come out of Newcastle County. Yet many more percentages of those funds come back into Kent and Sussex County. This year, we are attempting to increase the awareness of United Way's efforts in Kent and Sussex, particularly Sussex, and hope that people will respond accordingly. You, as council, have always been very generous in making an allocation to the United Way every year, and we appreciate that, and we do have an application in again this year. And through Mr. Baker, we have had a table here at your health fair this week where we have been talking to people about the United Way program through your employees. However, we do have, the need is great and has grown much greater as this economic downturn has continued. United Way helps a great deal of community projects here in Sussex County. And last year, of the funds raised here, we received about 5.5 times what we raised out of Sussex County back in services through the Community Impact Fund. It's a great investment. If you were investing, we'd all like to have that kind of return on investment. But when you're looking at the return of actual dollars that came back to the county to help our citizens in need, it represents probably a little, not quite as much as we should be able to do or carry our own weight. So with me today, I have Michelle Taylor, who is the CEO and president of United Way of Delaware. You should know that Delaware is one of the few states that has a combined United Way campaign that runs throughout the state. And Michelle has been president for some time, and she's done a great job of working and raising the effort downstate as well as upstate. And we recognize the importance of Sussex County greatly, So much so that we now have a full-time United Way employee working only in Sussex County, and that is Mr. Michael Shockley, who is with us here today. And he just joined United Way within the last couple of weeks. So he comes to us from the Coast Press, where he had worked in media, and he's already doing a good job here. He worked the health fair these last 2 days, and I think you'll be seeing Michael a lot more. I would encourage you to think about the United Way and the many programs that it underwrites here in the state, and particularly Sussex County. You'll see us in Cheer Centers and Kenton's Sussex Institute, or Industries, excuse me, and you'll also see us in places like La Red, L'Esperanza, Boys and Girls Scouts, Boys and Girls Clubs, and all of these programs, many of our Sussex County fellow citizens participate in and receive benefit from. I would hope that you would embrace this campaign with as much strength as you possibly can. We do have some information here that we'd like to pass out to you. And I would also tell you that one of the questions that's frequently asked of us is how much of this campaign money gets actually back to the people who are benefiting or using it. And in the United Way of Delaware, only 10.5% goes to administrative costs. In any philanthropic organization or charitable organization, that is a very respectable number. In this county, I'm aware of philanthropic organizations that function in excess of 30% going to administrative costs. I think a 10.5% number is a very, very respectable number, and it says a lot about the efforts of Michelle and the team that she has put together to work with United Way and bring the effort throughout the county and the state. I'd like to ask Michelle to fill in.
Hi. I think Ted said it all. But I would like to thank you for your past support. And I just want to echo that, you know, in this economy, that there are a lot of people in need. You know, people tell me when I say this, the fall campaign, people always say, well, gosh, I'm sure you're having a hard time. But as hard of a time as we have in order to raise the funds, the hardest job, I believe, in our organization is determining where to allocate the funds. The need is much greater than the resources that we have. And we really want to make sure that our efforts have been statewide. We've been putting a lot of efforts in all three counties over the last couple of years to make sure that we have a presence. We've always invested money in all three communities, not based on what's raised in the community, but really looking at the needs of the community and the requests that come in, and we'll continue to do so. But I think given the where the economy is over the last 12 months and where I think it'll be over the next 24 months, we really also are getting back to the basics, ensuring that our families have food, shelter, and utilities have really been critical in our state. We've seen what we call the fall of the middle class, people where there used to be two income families where now there's one. And those individuals maybe still make too much money to qualify for state and federal services, but yet are still in dire need and finding ways to keep their home out of foreclosure and to still be able to feed their families and still be able to keep the lights on and keep heat in their homes. And so under our initiative last year that we launched called Delaware Does More, those incremental funds, which we've been able to raise to date almost over $400,000 to go just towards utility and food and over a million pounds of food really are going to families in our state in need. But what we're finding through Delmarva is 50% of those families are first-time families, people who never needed assistance before. And so as you are thinking about how to make your contributions and what you'll do in order to support the campaign, I really hope that you will join us and trying to reach out to as many people as we can and really spread the word about not just about the need, but the fact that United Way is in the community, that we're here to stay. We hope to be able to grow and through our resources. Today we have Michael, a resource of one, but hopefully at some point the resources in the community will grow as the need grows, that we're able to adjust and be nimble to meet what we think are both the opportunities in Sussex as well as meet the needs that we need to address. thank you.
Thank you.
How much money did you take in last year, United Way, in Delaware?
In Delaware, $22 million.
$22 million.
You didn't let Mr. Shockley say a word.
Thank you.
I can say a quick word. I appreciate it. Thank you guys for letting us have this time. Being the new kid on the block, I mean, how can I follow Ted and Michelle? So just want to let you know that we'll definitely make a presence in Sussex County, and you will see my face around. So thank you.
Appreciate Are you related it. To Myrtle Shockley, my mentor and friend?
Not sure of the name. I know there's a bunch of us here in Sussex County.
Good number.
They, absolutely. So okay. good to have this last name. So thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Baker?
The next item is the University of Delaware Agriculture Extension Program grant, and we have with us today Mr. Mark Isaacs from the University of Delaware Ag Extension Program.
Well, good afternoon, council members and county staff members. It's always a pleasure to come here and see these smiling faces. I want to take an opportunity to really begin by thanking the council for the support from the and I'm speaking on behalf of the College of Ag and Natural Resources, specifically the Elbert N. and Ann V. Carville Research and Education Center, located right out on Route 9, to many of us is still known as the old substation. What I'd like to do, since we have some new members of the council that I haven't had an opportunity to give you a preview about some of the stuff that we do with the funding that you give us, is I'm just going to give you a quick breakdown on how we use the resources, and then give you an opportunity to ask us any questions if you have any. First off, we certainly recognize the budgetary constraints that the council's been dealing with, and I think we've all been dealing with them, as the group from United Way referenced. And I think it's important that everybody be a player and everybody contribute in the ways they can to make things smooth out during these tough times. So we recognize that. And what I'd like to do is kind of give you a pretty specific breakdown of how we use the resources. The first area, there's five primary areas that the council supports, and one is our Sussex Extension Program. Now, the Elbert N. and Ann V. Carville Research and Education Center really conduct research and extension programs, or outreach programs, for Sussex County and really for the state. $32,594.50, to be exact, is allocated to our Sussex Extension programs, and they're very broad. They focus on 4-H youth development. They focus on family and consumer sciences. They focus on ag production. They focus on horticulture. They focus on expanded food nutrition, or what many people refer to as FNEP. And it's a very diverse program area, but they're all intertwined with working with local agencies and communities and strengthening each of those program areas. We have advisory groups to each of those subject areas where we actually meet with the stakeholders on an annual basis, and we solicit input on what are the priorities and what do we need to do. Do we need to refocus in the work that we're doing, whether it be research and or extension? $7,395 goes into our Sussex Poultry Research Area. We have an experimental poultry house out there called the Jones Hamilton Environmental Poultry Research House. As many of you know, the poultry industry is facing many significant challenges, not only from an environmental perspective, but from many other aspects as well. And this was a house that was put together from support from the state and from a private company, Jones Hamilton, where it's targeted to look at air quality and litter amendment studies, reducing ammonia emissions and also evaluating environmental quality impacts. And we use this money to do research, conduct research in this house. $13,345 is targeted to Sussex crops research. One of the challenges with today's time is that, you know, as many of you know, if you've been involved in the grant and aid program, the federal government really is focusing on molecular techniques. And when you try to get research dollars to do good applied research, unless there's a tie with molecular biology, you don't have a very good chance in doing anything. From the years of support the council's provided, it's allowed us to meet with local ag producers, find out what are some issues that they're dealing with, and to do small research and extension demonstrations to try to answer some of the challenges that they have. One of the things that we've been doing here this past year is working, spending these resources in the irrigation area, where we're evaluating different soil moisture measuring devices, trying to fine-tune irrigation practices in general so we can conserve water quality and water quantity resources, because we know that's going to continue to be a challenge for the state and our county as well. The number fourth area is Sussex Lasher Lab, and that's the poultry diagnostic laboratory that is a part of the Albert N. and Anvi Research and Education Center. But it was actually put together from support from Dr. Hiram Lasher, who's world-renowned in poultry biologics, and it is the diagnostic laboratory for the poultry industry. And basically that's where the industry will bring disease birds in, and we have a veterinarian there and staff members where we dissect the birds, we evaluate blood work, pathology work, and are doing constant monitoring to prevent any, hopefully, avian influenza outbreaks. And we also test vaccines and actually challenge these birds under different conditions for vaccines. The council has been a significant support to that laboratory, and I really want to point this out, for, especially for the new members of the council. When the laboratory was renovated, it used to be a former USDA laboratory. When it was renovated by Dr. Lasher, the council also provided money to enhance the interactive video conferencing facility, which is an ITV room. And myself and other members actually teach classes out of there to students on Newark. We have students from Dell Tech and are going through the University of Delaware Parallel Program that come to our facility and not only take agricultural classes, but are also taking continuing education classes for professional development in education. So it's become, we have a lot of evening courses that go on out of there, and then some of us teach during the day. So it's a great opportunity. It used to be located in the Lasher Lab, which that's when the council was supporting initially, and then when we built the new Carville facility, we actually relocated the ITV room in there because of if there were any biosecurity issues with poultry disease, we had to shut down classrooms in there. So the money that there's $10,000 that goes to Sussex Lasher Lab, and that money's been used to support basically a lot of the miscellaneous supplies and expenses that we use to do our diagnostic works for the industry. We get state funding at two different levels, called a poultry disease research and poultry diagnostic line. So the state provides significant funding for that, and then we use the county's monies to also help with our miscellaneous expenses. Hey, how are you, George?
You started without me?
Yeah. And lastly is the Sussex crops was $5,714. $5,714 for Sussex Lasher Lab. The last one, $10,000, goes to supporting Mike Love, which is our extension safety agent. And many of you probably remember Ron Jester, who used to be our safety specialist. And Ron retired a couple of years ago, joined retirement life. And Mike basically took over for him. And what one of the things that Mike has done is he's been able to expand his safety programs to farm safety. Ron did a lot with childhood prevention in what they call safe kids. Mike has taken this out into the agriculture industry. He's worked with landscape agencies. He's working on worker protection in the workplace, which is also a benefit to reduce their liability insurance. He's worked with Department of Highway and Safety on community traffic safety issues, especially targeting working with the Hispanic population and trying to educate them on highway safety aspects, and he's working now. One of the things he's working on now is farm safety audits, where I'm going in and working with farmers on evaluating their work, their farm base, and identifying any safety hazards that one could improve the health of them and their families, but their co-workers, and it could also reduce their liability insurance. So the support the council is giving also supplements the work that Mike does in those areas as well. So with that, that's kind of a quick summary. I'd be happy to entertain any questions that the council has.
Any questions? No. I believe Mr. Wilson may have something for you. Did you want to deliver that?
He didn't have anything.
Wake up, Sam. I should open my mail.
Well, thank you again for all the support you give us, and we greatly appreciate it. And don't hesitate as the year moves forward, if there's any issues that you think we need to be working on.
Crabgrass.
Well, we've got that. I think that'll be a primitive issue. Thank you, Mr. Sam.
Mark, we have $69,049 for you.
Thank you very much.
How about that?
Appreciate it very much. Thanks again. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Mr. Baker.
The next item is a dog control update and memorandum of agreement. We have a memorandum of agreement regarding dog control responsibilities for your consideration. The county, as you're aware, the county takes over responsibility for dog control on January 1st, and DENREC has requested that, or has asked that the county council consider approving this MOU. Apparently, the legislation that was approved back in May and June to transfer dog control authority to the county was incomplete in that it did not authorize county employees or contracted dog wardens to enforce the dog control rules in January. So the proposed MOU, with that, we would agree that the Secretary of DENREC would be able to authorize county employees, designated employees, or designated contractors to enforce the dog control rules. And this would be in effect until the legislation is approved that would accomplish the same and give us that authority. And DENREC is now working on drafting that legislation for January, and they've indicated that they will provide us with copies of that for our review also in advance. As far as the status of dog control, I think Mr. Holloway's here. He's also working on this. We plan on introducing or bringing to you an ordinance regarding dog license fees, possibly November 3rd, for introduction. We've ordered the tags for dog control in January. We had to order those in advance, of course. Our staff has worked on application forms, and it is about done. A brochure is in process, and our website, Debbie Morrison, our information systems department, is working on updating the website so that we can provide licenses over our internet website. The request for proposals has been sent out for to provide dog control services in the county. At this time, three businesses have received those proposals that have requested them, and they are due back November 10th. So we will be reporting to the county council on the results, and we'll have a recommendation for the county council after November 10th, after we get the RFP, the proposals back. So
you say you have three?
So far, three have requested the proposals.
Oh, okay.
They may not. That doesn't mean all three will
bid.
Mm-hmm. Bid, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So if there aren't any questions, I do have a motion. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approves a MOU with the Delaware Department of Natural Resources to authorize DENREC to approve county employees or county contractors to enforce dog control rules.
Okay, I'll introduce it.
And this does meet with your approval, Mr. Baker?
Yes.
Is there a motion, please?
Yes, I'll introduce it.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the memorandum of agreement between the county and the state regarding dog control. Is there any questions? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, the next item, and we have today with us Mr. Vince Robertson. We have the county council previously approved an ordinance to establish its own suburban community road process, separate from the process that was in Delaware Code and was very antiquated. The suburban community road projects are road improvements or repair projects within developments that are, as at the request of the residents of the particular developments, which are then approved by referendum, and if approved, then the county would make the improvements and bill the property owners for the cost of the improvements over time. The ordinance, as you may recall, was approved, and but there was some concerns regarding the billing mechanism, and the billings in the current ordinance are based on front footage with 100 front foot maximum and 40 front foot minimum. The council requested that we bring back an ordinance amendment to change the billing basis from front footage basis to per buildable lot parcel or building unit basis. And Mr. Robertson has worked on that, and we have for your possible introduction and discussion today the revisions.
Good afternoon. I'll make this simple. All it does is say that there's no longer a charge based on front footage. Everybody's assessed the same.
Unit price.
Unit price.
Unit price.
Whether it's a lot, a unit, buildable lot, whatever. You all get the same, or everybody in the suburban community improvement area would have the same assessment. You know, there'd be assessment rules published each year that would determine how much needed to be assessed, and everybody would be assessed the same.
In an unbuildable parcel, mm-hmm, which is not going to be assessed.
It would not be assessed.
That even if it's privately owned or homeowners association owned, can it be like a private individual owned this unbuildable lot?
And it says in it, and that was in the prior one, and it's tracked through to this. If it's unbuildable because it's
whatever,
it's not assessed.
Okay, now if they merge it with, it doesn't really impact anything. If they merged it with,
it'd still be the
still,
unit.
Okay. Right. Still one lot. Yep. I'm glad you came in to explain that to us.
Any other questions?
Well, you got here, hear it.
I have a question for Patty.
Motor vehicle.
Would this mean that anybody that I know would be certified at when they adopted it, but would this mean anybody that you're working on in-house would fall under this, even if they applied before?
Well,
that's
great. We have it, yeah.
Mr. Izzo, could you come up, please?
Come on, you know the rules, Mike.
Come on.
Everything that we've done formally in the past is done under the old state law, so it's not going to be affected.
No, the new calculations.
In the interim, we have not issued any petitions on any new projects.
Okay.
We kind of wanted to resolve this first because it would be difficult for us to have a couple customers, so to speak, under the old program and then change the method of billing and then have a new group of people, and we think it would make it difficult for us to administer referendums if you had two sets of rules out there.
That's good.
Okay.
Thanks.
Any other questions for Mr. Robertson? If not, we will entertain the introduction by a council member.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Cole introduces. Thank you.
It'll be
scheduled for a public hearing before both planning and zoning and council?
No, this
just
one just
us.
Would be council because
just
it's
us.
Not a
okay. We'll look forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Some pictures.
Mr. Baker.
Next item is the administrator's report.
You're too young. You have to wear a blindfold.
I knew it.
The first item is Northeaster Storms, October 16th through the 18th. Sussex County was impacted by a series of two northeaster storms during the past weekend, providing strong winds, rain, and coastal flooding. Greatest impacts were along the bay areas, especially near the Rehoboth and Indian River Inland Bays. Flooding in certain areas covered, especially at high tides, various roads such as Long Neck Road, River Road, and Chiefs Road near Oak Orchard, Cedar Beach Road entering Slaughter Beach, Fred Hudson Road near Bethany, Pennsylvania Avenue near Bethany, Indian River Inlet Bridge, accessways, Savannah Road and Lewis, and other roads in the county. Residents and visitors to our beach areas were patient as they endured the storm. The series of northeaster storms combined with an astronomical high tide created a situation where waters were slow to recede out of the inland bays. Also, beach erosion occurred along our ocean beaches.
Wow.
We wish to thank our county employees who were on call and worked during the weekend, including Mr. Thomas, Director of Emergency Preparedness, Richard Short, Debbie Jones, Chip Stevenson, and Kelly Kruger, who manned the Emergency Operations Center Saturday morning. We also wish to thank other volunteers, such as the Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, RACES, who provided information from their ham radio operators on and storm updates. And I'll turn this over to Joe, but yesterday, we set up a process so that people could send us pictures that they took of the storm through our website. And we have some of those and then some that we have also taken for just to show you quickly.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Talking to Mr. Baker, we decided that maybe it was a good opportunity to show the council some of the impacts of one of these coastal events. Mr. Baker, Saturday, was out riding the various areas, particularly down in Long Neck and Oak Orchard, and you'll see a lot of pictures from that area. That's one of our biggest concerns, is that area, because Long Neck Road, there's always one spot on Long Neck Road that always floods, and if we have a major storm and that road floods, there's a lot of people on the other side of Long Neck Road, the Potnets communities, the Mariners Coves, what have you, that will be totally shut off. So we thought it might be a good opportunity for the council to see that and see some of the roads that are always seeing flooding during one of these events, which may provide some fuel for the council when their next discussions with DLDOT on some of the areas that they might want to concentrate their efforts. The first picture is actually New Road in Lewis. This is at Canary Creek. This was actually sent in on the website by one of the citizens out in the public. As you can see, the car off to the side. This is another picture of New Road at Canary Creek later on, and you can still see the same car up in the right-hand corner of the picture.
What else? What other routes do they have to get out? Other than New Road, they have Savannah Road.
There's Savannah Road flood. But New Road is heavily traveled, mm-hmm. and so when that road's impacted, it also impacts the rest of the road system throughout the community. Mm-hmm. So this is the National Guard training site in Bethany Beach. This is a picture of Lewis Beach on Saturday. This is Cape Henlopen State Park. This is actually Rehoboth Beach. This is actually along the canal in Lewis, and if you were to pan out a little farther in this picture, you would see the Little League Park and also Anglers Road just off to the side of that. This is a restaurant out on Route 1 outside of Bethany. Fred Hudson Road, which is north of Bethany Beach. Now, if I'm not mistaken, DLDOT actually did some improvement work on this particular road years ago, and yet we still experience these issues every time we have a storm. And that goes to Cedar Neck Road, which is another highly populated area.
Nice neighborhood.
This is Lewis Beach again. That's actually a seagull. Someone told me they wondered if it was a dolphin, but that's a seagull there. This is Milton Park. This is in Milton at the boat ramp. This is a picture of the actual boat ramp. Once again, New Road at Canary Creek. This is in Bethany Beach, one of the streets in Bethany. These shots are all typical flooding, and these people experience this every time we have one of these coastal events.
I was closed for couldn't open.
Now we get into the Long Neck Oak Orchard area, which is where we have some of our problems. This is Long Neck Road going into the Potnets communities, Mariners Cove, Malone's Bayside, White House Beach, those areas. This is Long Neck Road, and one of the important things about this picture, and I was talking to Mr. Baker about it, is we tell people not to drive through standing water because you don't know when the road's going to end, and yet people do this all the time because they don't know. It's the only way in and out.
He can still see the yellow marks. Yeah. It wasn't too deep.
But you don't know how far that you can go. And the proof is that yellow or that white car in the very first picture that went off the road. And Mr. Baker might have to help me with some of these. Is this Potnets or is this Bay City?
That's Potnets.
Potnets.
That's off of Long Neck Road, like the entrance into one of the Potnets communities.
That's probably a pop car.
And there were three spots on Long Neck Road this time that were on Saturday morning that were covered, but they were passable. But this is what you would call passable.
Now, please keep in mind these pictures of Oak Orchard area, because when I get done this set, I'm going to show you a set that we took 3 years ago in October of 06 when we had a similar storm, and you'll see some of the same pictures almost identical, just to give you an idea that this is the typical.
So is it Del Dot's totally their responsibility to handle this, or is it the folks that have developments along? What is, whose responsibility?
Long Neck Road is state responsibility.
State responsibility.
Who's your state responsibility?
I understand
yes.
from Representative
Mother
Atkins,
responsible
Atkins that there was an estimate some years ago on how to fix it. It was $3 million, and nothing was done. So, but we
keep in
developing.
Mind, I want to show you that photo. If you look off into the canal, there's a boat. The very first boat you see has got a blue canopy roof. Keep that in mind, because when I show you those six pictures, you're going to see that same boat again. And this is the entrance to Potnets. This was taken on Saturday. This is River Road and Chiefs Road.
Sure is.
That always floods.
In Oak Orchard.
In Oak Orchard itself. Another picture farther out of Chiefs Road. This is Oak Orchard Road going into Oak Orchard just past the firehouse. There's the Serendipity restaurant sign mm-hmm. off to the right. Remember
Did
that because I'm going to show you another picture of that.
Did they get flooded?
They had standing water. I have not heard of the restaurant itself having any flooding.
Good.
This was Bay City?
Yeah, that is the on the right is the Bay City development, and this road actually goes back to the land that's right on the bay into Bay City, and that I wasn't going to go through that, but it was.
Well, we pay you the big bucks.
Yeah.
We expect you to.
That's right. Hydroplane.
Get in there. Right. Let us know what's going on.
There were some high trucks that were going through it, but that was about it.
Well, this is a pretty extraordinary event. I mean, to make it sound like we're going to be able to fix something that Mother Nature causes is a little ridiculous. I mean,
yeah,
what I think these people have to do is be educated that when they get notified a storm like this is coming, to take the precautions, either, you know, get out of those areas that are.
But we also wanted to show you that these are the same repetitive spots over and over again.
It's the same people, George. Friday night.
This is Malone's Bayside, which you'll see this picture again. Bayside Marina.
Dewey Beach.
That's Dewey Beach, where we always see the same flooding on those three streets.
That's Dewey also.
Now, this starts the pictures from 3 years ago, October 7th, 2006. This is Chiefs Road and at Oak Orchard. This is the same spot that was flooded Saturday. That's the same spot. White Caps Cafe, there's your Serendipity restaurant sign. Oh. Waterfront dining at White Caps.
A lot of houses had waterfront.
Remember that boat with the blue canopy roof? This was 3 years ago in this almost the same location. There's the entrance to Potnets that we had water on Saturday. Long Neck Road again, and then there's Malone's Bayside, and that's the Bayside Marina, which are almost the same spots we saw flooding again. So we just wanted to show you these pictures to give you an idea that it's the same locations consistently, it seems, with every one of these events. I know there's been some questions posed to some of the councilmen. I've seen some emails where they question why we don't do more or why we do what we do, and we just thought we'd show you some of these pictures.
Great. Any questions from council?
Well, we've got applications coming up for Baywood and Long Neck Road, and I don't know, maybe Del Dot could ask them to help improve those roads.
Roads are okay. It's too much water.
Oh, it's the road. It's the water. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's just, yeah, I mean, there's, when you get a situation like that.
Just keep on approving it.
We are, well, no, approving what? The roads or the
more
or
development?
The
storm.
More
the storm.
Development.
We're going to cancel all storms.
More development.
Oh, could do that.
On the road. More development on the same road.
No, I think now development is required to have some stormwater management. See, even the stormwater management wouldn't have handled this kind of load of water. And
well, then one, that new development will handle all this then.
There are situations that we're just going to have to live with in this county. And this could be every couple of years we have a combination of storms, and it throws a lot of water on us.
One of the things that...
Build your house up higher?
It kind of amazes me is you see the extent of some of the flooding in some of these areas. It comes, you know, that the people that live in these places seem to be used to it. They seem to be, you know, somewhat used to it in that they don't panic. I think occasionally if there's a lack of electricity, then we run into some problems. There are very few calls for assistance to the 911 center.
Well, in Bethany Beach, where they showed Pennsylvania Avenue, it's done that for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's done it forever. So anybody living there is used to it. Fred Hudson floods every storm, not even a storm like this. It'll close that intersection because it's low, and you got all that those canals. And you can't pump water. Somebody said, oh, they got to pump it. Well, you can't pump it anywhere because all the bay and the canals, everything's full. The ditches are full, and it just kind of has nowhere to go. So there's no place to pump it.
One other area that was impacted pretty heavily in this storm was the coastline, the beaches. It's my understanding from talking to various town officials that there was significant beach erosion. In fact, the town manager of South Bethany told me they lost 25% of their dune line. Mm. Rehoboth had significant erosion. Lewis Beach, there's actually going to be officials from DEMA going to come down tomorrow and kind of travel the area to see just how much has been done, work with DENREC, and see if there's a possibility of some federal money through a declaration. Disaster. But at this point, it's too early to know until we start getting some figures.
Okay. Would that be like low-interest loans or grants?
Well, what that would probably mean is federal dollars that would go to build infrastructure. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be necessary for the homeowner who experienced flooding. It would be for the government to fix roads, those kind of things, the infrastructure part.
Oh, fix roads.
It's the roads that are damaged.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Raise them. All right. Any other questions for Mr. Thomas? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You haven't taken care of it.
Thanks, Joe.
Fix everything.
The next item in the administrator's last item is press conference, USDA American Recovery Act funding. As per the attached media advisory from the United States Department of Agriculture Rural Development Office, a press conference will be held on Friday, October 23rd at 2 p.m. at the Johnson Farm near Selbyville, sponsored by Senator Carper and the USDA. The purpose is to highlight federal funding received through this program for Sussex County wastewater projects, including Johnson's Quarter, Corner, the Woodlands in Millsboro, and Oak Orchard. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Baker? Not, we'll turn the meeting over to Ms. Webb.
Thank you. For those of you that don't know, I'm sure a few of you do know, that the county has currently available what we call IRS Section 457 Deferred Compensation Plan. We have two of them, actually, that you could choose from, Nationwide and Valid. This is a supplemental retirement savings program. It has nothing to do with our regular county pension that the county contributes to every year and funds without any participation from the employee. This is only an employee supplemental program that they can contribute to themselves, and the county doesn't contribute to this one at all. Much along the lines like what you would hear of a private 401k. They can get the amount withdrawn from their paycheck, and they can direct what type of investment they'd like it to be, whether it be life insurance, mutual fund, whatever kind of stock investment, and change it, add to it, that kind of thing. But it is on a pre-tax basis, so they do have to follow IRS regulations. Because once the funds are withdrawn, the idea is that it's taxable at your retirement. There are hardship requirements that you can request funds for different hardship things that are eligible for withdrawal that they are used for. But we would like to amend our current plan to include one of the reasons for a withdrawal from these funds would be to take a loan out against the plan. Right now, this is becoming very popular and very beneficial because it's a wise use of their own money. And this is all an employee participation, has little to do with the county, although we're just sponsoring the plan. Right now, how this would work for the employees, if they were to take a loan against their plan, they pay interest to themselves. So the interest would be prime plus one. Right now, prime is 3.25, so they would be getting a loan at potentially 4.25%, much lower than any credit card or bank loan that they might have outstanding. They could borrow against themselves. They would have to have this money in the plan already, pay down on credit cards or whatever personal loan situations that they have, and there they're saving the money. There's no taxes if this is a loan and set up as a loan because it's not considered a taxable distribution. And the compensation plan sets up very reasonable and flexible payment terms. It's money they've already had put in this plan that they would like to tap into or have access to manage their own finances in a smarter way. And we think by loosening up their monthly income, by maybe allowing them to have a way of using some lower interest money, could be a benefit to them. Again, it's no loan from the county. It's whatever their supplemental program has in there, and it's just a plan amendment for both of these plans that we'd like to add to the plan. And Mr. Denny Cordry's here from personnel if he'd like to add anything. I do know that there have been requests for different hardship cases that where they can withdraw your money or have access to the loan, to your funds, and there is some information I put in the packet. It's becoming very popular to amend these plans for these low-interest loans in this time where a spouse loses a job, they're stuck with high credit card interest, they'd like to get rid of that by tapping into their own savings. And this, you know, because the economy is just a little crunch time. So we thought we'd make this available to our own employees.
And we supervise it?
Well, no. We're kind of like the conduit that withholds the money and sends it on to nationwide. That's all we do.
So okay. You pay interest. And the interest,
they pay interest to
themselves. If I borrowed money from my own account, borrowed it from myself, and I'm paying interest, the interest goes to
yourself.
Back to myself.
Yep. So you're not paying it to a credit card. And meanwhile, you're building your own net, you know, your own
payment,
account.
I make an interest payment back to Nationwide.
Which is, into your own account.
And then they deposit, if it's a $500 a month payment, it goes into my account?
Yes. And back into your savings account.
Okay.
It's just because it's your money to begin with that you put in there.
Okay.
The reason they're a little technical on the, or not technical, but, you know, you can't take it as a distribution. That's when you get into the IRS regulations because it was pre-tax to begin with.
And if you don't pay it back, it becomes a distribution.
If you don't pay it back, it automatically becomes a distribution and they'll hit you with a 1099 and you have to pick it up in your tax return. But... the employees can certainly manage their own personal situations.
You're free to get that at, what, 7.5 or something, but in taxes? Something
well,
like
I believe it's 59.5 on a 59. Pension, you know, on an IRS with a penalty. I'm not sure on that.
Yeah,
when you can start withdrawing or when you leave.
On an
SUV.
IRA.
Oh, an IRA.
But on this... I don't think there's an age limit, actually.
Okay.
There isn't.
Yeah, but you can't be a current employee.
Excuse me?
You cannot. You can't draw on it and be a current employee unless you borrow from it or
unless you borrow
or there's emergency need.
You got to be retired.
Yeah.
Is there a limit on how much you can?
There are.
As much as you got, I guess.
Yes.
50%.
No. You have to have the minimum alone is $1,000, and the max you can have is 50% of what your savings account is, up to $50,000. So, for instance, you have to even have $1,000 in your savings account to start with, and then you can only borrow 50% of it.
How will an employee know how much he's got?
Well, you can access it online.
You can access it
online? Oh, yeah, it's your own personal account. You get your own statements.
They send
you statements. Totally independent of anything the county does. We've just allowed them access to be in a supplemental retirement account.
It's a good thing.
It is a good thing. I know the hardship scenarios that qualify when you can draw without using a loan have helped many people in many different scenarios because it's the real hardships. Foreclosure, medical, excuse me, life, death, those kind of situations. So we would like to make this little caveat available to employees.
Is there any action required by council?
I have a motion. Just the amendment actually is just a check on a box, but we thought we would like to inform the council of a change we'd like to make. So I do have a motion.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the amendment to allow loans to participants for the nationwide and valid deferred compensation plans.
So both plans are?
Yeah, we would do it for both.
Okay.
They're exactly identical plans in theory and nature, just okay. Different okay. Investment companies.
Because all this information was from nationwide.
Yeah, it's just because it's repetitive.
4% interest.
I'll make that motion.
Well, that 4% is hooked to prime. That's why it's important now, why prime is low. They could be locked in at a very low rate, making it very desirable.
Well, it's not a floating,
no.
It locks in?
Oh. Well, it's well, yeah, you set up a loan, right.
At the time you borrow.
I mean, technically, you could borrow at the 4.75, and if interest rates go up, and you can reinvest it at 7% or something crazy like that.
You're a whiz. In
municipal bonds, you can basically invest these borrowed funds to get a higher interest rate ultimately.
See? Yeah, but you're really being sophisticated about mm-hmm. it. I don't know that.
A farmer. They're all sophisticated.
But yeah, I get what you're saying. Or the same works with paying down ungodly
sure,
debt at
sure.
22%.
That's right.
Do we have a motion?
Well, what
I do have a motion.
She made the motion.
I got check. I'm checking my wife's credit cards as I get home.
Ms. Deaver, did you want to second it?
Sure, I'll second it, but I have a question.
And I have a motion and a second. No, for discussion, Ms. Deaver.
What's the downside of this?
Here it says right on.
Well, there are disadvantages, of course.
Yes.
You're
It's on the front of that page, yeah.
Yeah.
You can lose it all
after
in the stock
tax,
market, and there you go.
You have to repay the loan. I'm trying to look at the disadvantages.
You may pay. It's you not, may be paying interest or on, twice on this thing.
Mm-hmm. Tax twice.
Yeah, tax twice, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Retirement funds.
Yeah.
Well, we're not responsible for it.
No
we're not.
It's the individual makes
it. It allows the employee to have another choice to manage their finances mm-hmm. while the economy is...
And what
just
is
a little
the,
tight.
But if you want to buy a car,
what is it cost? What is it cost? Just curious, what is the management cost for the, how much does Nationwide get on
50,
this?
$50 a year, isn't it?
Oh, come on, more than
well,
that.
Well, I would imagine the
application,
fees.
Annual fee, $50.
That's
all?
Just to do this.
Yeah.
To do this, right.
That's what the question was.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant to run the...
I'm just curious about
it's there's an application fee if
that's
you,
it?
Someone applies.
Okay. Just curious, okay. But that's not our problem.
It's an application fee 50 and an annual fee of 50. That's
as
it.
Long as it's a decent, you know.
Like 50-50. Maybe.
Well, I guess. I'm trying to think, Mrs. Webb. People would borrow this money because they have some kind of a situation that comes up that they.
College.
Don't have money in the bank to do it. They right. need to get money they've got to put aside in this fund.
Okay.
Why would you? Why pay interest? It's your money. Why do I pay interest back?
Well, that's the only way that the fund is going to let you borrow the money.
Because they can't
pay
use your money.
Interest.
That's why
they don't
you.
Get the interest.
They want
the
interest your
is paid
money.
To you.
I understand that. My question is, if I'm borrowing my money,
yeah.
why have I got to pay myself interest if I don't?
I think the IRS rules require that because it
you
was placed in there. Without tax, is that correct, Ms.
Right.
Yes.
So because it had that favorable treatment
mm-hmm.
when it went in there, the
yeah.
rules at that time said you can't take it out until you're 59.
And this is a rather new change to these plans from the IRS. It was at a time when they were...
See, they're kind of restrictive, Mike, in that you can't touch it.
Well,
you can't get at it until
I
you're 59 and a half.
I just question if you need to borrow the money, maybe you've got financial constraints that you need the money. If you pay interest, you just raise what you got to pay back. I mean, if I guess it's okay if you employ what to do. I just wonder if you're going to borrow your own money, why you got to pay yourself interest?
That's
I guess
they're
so they can get that $50 out of every year.
Well, they're going to get that whether they can be doing it or not.
Yeah.
Is that IRS rule?
IRS may impute
yes,
it if you
it
don't
is.
Pay interest. They tend to impute yeah. interest.
Wait, here comes a man with the answer. Come on down.
But why couldn't you make interest 1%?
You heard about that 50-50. You want to get in?
Maybe Nationwide.
He may know the answer, and he's not even a farmer. Let's go.
I think what you
Mr.
I have that. Gordon. Hold on.
Farmers don't have a lot to do. They got time to sit
and
study
all
this
It may be a situation where you need the money that doesn't qualify for a hardship.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah.
Freeze up your money a little bit.
Right.
But does it so that
you can borrow the money without having to go through the hardship? Because there's certain qualifications and they're pretty stringent.
But you could buy a car with it. You could do it pretty much anything with it.
Anything you want. Yeah.
That's the other thing that it's
which
a loan.
You never could do before.
They don't scrutinize your loan like they do your hardship requirement.
Just the federal government lowering their standards. Democrats are running the show.
And we are positive that this 1% above prime, all that interest goes back to that person. It's their money.
Yeah, you're paying yourself the interest.
Nationwide doesn't get a dime of that.
Okay. Right.
You feel confident that it's a good company and totally. It's the reasonable expenses, yes. That type of thing. That's a concern I have, too.
Yeah, I think it would be another good benefit for the employees.
And you can watch it on the Internet. They give you a thing to go in and out of it, and you can check on your money. You can switch it around.
And they don't
around.
Have to do it. I mean, this no, is I just understand. Another
it's
option.
It's another option.
Yeah, just
I don't
like
encourage.
If the money's lost in a queer investment, can it be deductible from your taxes?
You can deduct stock losses up to stock gains if you're not in the stock business, I think.
But the gains and losses aren't taxable.
No, not these.
You deduct advantage
if you buy until you take the money out. Okay.
Yeah.
Take the
no,
money out
right.
You have to pay tax on.
You can deduct
exactly
if you buy
right.
a new tractor.
At a lower interest rate.
He doesn't need, are you in are you in the plan? Have you been in the plan?
Car for
have you been in the plan?
I have no idea.
How much can you put in the plan?
Pardon me?
How much can an employee put in the plan?
Oh, what is it? 16,000?
A third of their. What is it? Is
it's,
a
percentage they've lifted
different
it.
Limits. It's, yeah,
it's up
like 13
there.
Or $16,000 yeah. a year or something like that.
Like 150.
They've also lifted that. That was another change.
Cost averaging. They buy it at different things.
The annual contribution an employee could make to this plan was very
years.
Small and limited, and they've broadened that a lot. People realizing that, you know,
what
they need to save for retirement. But and see, they bought it was small because it's pre-tax; they're not getting the tax benefit.
Right.
Any other questions? We have a motion on the floor.
So you don't spend it.
Mr. Cooper says a good
too.
Idea.
If there are no further questions, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Not voting.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Why.
Too controversial for you?
Ms. Webb, grant request.
First one today is
Ms. Lee. I could see that.
The World Champion Pumpkin Chunkin' Association.
Is there a representative of the World Championship Pumpkin Chunkin' Association here that would like to speak on its behalf?
Isn't this group on their feet yet? They're still asking for public money?
Well, United Way's been on their feet for a long time, and they're still asking.
Would you be? Never mind. I was going to kid you a little bit. But
I sent a letter to the to the council.
We got
it. Asking that you reconsider the association for their grant request. We got hit pretty hard this year. You ask if we're on our feet. Yeah, we are on our feet, but by the same token, we bring close to $2 million worth of assets every year to the economy of Sussex County. Just in the past 3 days, I've booked 16 rooms at the Comfort Inn for the Discovery Channel, and I got a request today for 27 more rooms in the area for film crews that are coming.
So you're doing this while you work for the county?
Pardon me?
You
no, ma'am. I'm a volunteer.
A motel out on the highway.
Volunteer, you
yeah.
do that?
This entire organization is run by volunteers. Nobody gets paid a nickel to do it. We grant in excess of $20,000 worth of scholarships every year.
How much, I'm sorry?
Over $20,000 worth of scholarships to deserving students every
awesome.
Year.
Local
I'm
students?
I'm still waiting for his slam dunk at the beach scholarship.
Well, I had nothing to do with that.
Well, I know you do good things. I just thought you'd be on your own by now. How many
well,
years
well we
been?
Are on our own, but by the same token, this year alone, the prisoners that we've used for years to help do the manual labor to set up the field that has always been done
That's your
free... they advised us this year that it would cost us $18,000 to have those same services. Mm. DelDOT, who in the past has set up the highway doing signs and people on the highway, which we don't request, that they've done on their own, informed us this year that would cost us in excess of $20,000.
Sounds like if you're going to play, you're going to pay.
Delaware State Police, that we've paid and we've contracted with them for every year so that we run a secure event, is going to cost us in the neighborhood of $18,000. Now, you add into that the fact that the...
Haven't you always paid state police?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay.
We've always paid the state police. We pay the special duty rate, unlike the state fair. We pay $74.50 an hour for every trooper that's out there. Every trooper that's out there gets 70. The charge is $74.50. That's not what a trooper makes. That's
it's some constable's rule.
How many have to hire?
Pardon me?
How many state troopers you have to have?
We usually have, it depends on the day. Saturday being a bigger day, we have upwards of 18 to 20 troopers there.
Good.
Friday, we have 6 or 8. But Saturday, we may see 35 or 40,000 people there also.
So who's in charge of this operation?
Of which operation, ma'am?
The pumpkin
shop? Well, for the past 8 years, I was president of the organization. This year, I've stepped down to another position. I'm a trustee with the organization, and I've got a title that with $2 will get you a cup of coffee. I'm the director of media and promotions.
Who runs this thing?
The association runs itself. We have a president, a vice president, a secretary, a treasurer, 7 trustees, and an organization of probably 350 members. Those members set this entire thing. Pardon me, a gentleman by the name of John Huber this year.
John Huber,
H-U-B-E-R. He's he lives over in southern Maryland near Calvert Cliffs.
Maryland?
Yeah. We're a worldwide organization. But all the money is generated and stays here in Sussex County.
Pumpkins are nuclear.
I would tell you that 4 years ago, 5 years ago, the uproar that was heard throughout the state when we were having trouble funding this thing and putting it on was that we were invited to move just a few miles south into the town of Hebron. And the uproar throughout the state was unbelievable. Again, in a 3-day weekend, we bring, and we're estimating this year that we should see with the Discovery product that they're putting on and all, we're anticipating seeing upwards of 80 to 100,000 people in that cornfield on a 3-day weekend. There's nothing else in this county that draws that kind of people.
Do you give us any kind of financial information?
On an annual basis?
Audit? Do we audit them? Or
yeah.
Probably. We've had no reason to.
It's a 501c3.
Pardon me?
It's a 501c3.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Okay.
We're a 501c3. And again, over the years, we've donated out in the tens of thousands of dollars to charities like St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, National Abused Children, American Cancer Society, Boys Clubs, Girls Clubs, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. You name the organization, you know, we'll bring them in and try to donate money to them.
Well, let me ask you this, Frank. If what you're asking is, we're giving them how much this year?
Nothing.
They were one of the budget cuts.
They typically got 5,000.
You got 5,000.
Right.
Okay. Other organizations like, those who sponsor the Little League World Series, who typically get 15,000, had an 8% cut in their budget. Is that correct, Mr. Baker?
Yes.
So there's other entities that are doing things, bringing people to the county that are continuing to be funded. I think this is a worthy organization. I don't know if there is no consensus to give money from a contingency fund or what have you, then we'd have to leave it open for Councilmanic discretionary grants. What are your thoughts, Mr. Cole?
Well, no, my thoughts are we were looking at $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any thought on your organization, maybe like when you used to give out all these scholarships, that maybe you won't be able to give out as much? I mean, have you looked
at
cutting some of that back?
That's the money that we donate to charities and to scholarships is what's left after the cost of the event.
Okay, so
just like everybody
else, whatever's left over, so there's no fixed amounts that
right.
you
give. The scholarship fund is our primary fund. Mm-hmm. We will give the scholarships, and we'll continue to do that as long as we can.
Is that for Sussex County residents? Sussex
Pardon me?
County
scholarships to who?
I'm sorry.
Oh, excuse me, Dave.
We have an application process, and we prefer that it be Sussex County residents, but because the event has gone international, we've had to amend that application to a point where if you apply, we first it's on a point basis, and points are given for Sussex County schools. But we do get applications from other chunkers who aren't from this area, but they've brought teams here and spent money here also. So we've had to go to a point-based application.
Well, I will. Here's my thoughts at this point, gentlemen, is and ladies, is to give them back the. You know, do we have $5,000 we can give them? And that's what we were giving them $5,000. We zeroed them out.
Out of what?
They were getting it out of county council grants.
Okay. Is there any money there? What kind of money is left in that fund?
Do we have say if we cut it back 8% like we did some of the others? Do we have enough money left in county council?
I could make a motion to defer it.
Do we find this out?
Well, it does have a major impact, and $5,000 nowadays for something as big as this isn't that big of money. We used to, you know, give, like, Returns Day is a one-day event. We give, what was it, 15?
Is it 10. Sure.
Yeah. 10 to 15,000. And we used to give the slam dunk and other things, and we were giving substantially more. So we're looking at $5,000. I think we ought to find the $5,000 and try to especially in the economic times we're having, they do bring in a lot of business in there. There's a lot of businesses that could use
that word economic times. Now, do you think it's our taxpayers would be happy to spend money on chunking when they're having hard times paying their fuel bills and stuff? After all, these people pay their taxes and have hard times too, George.
I understand that, but that $5,000 that we're spending would never be helping anybody with fuel bills. It's not
you don't
distributed.
If you take from them, they can't pay their fuel bill. That's what I'm talking about.
Councilman Wilson, if I could, I'd suggest that just the next two alone here is one's for a kid's Christmas bazaar that's looking for grant money, and one's for community service projects.
Well, I don't mind giving. I'm a giver.
I understand, sir.
But I don't like taxing somebody over here and say, you've got to give to these people over here so they can give to someone else.
Understood.
I have a problem with that.
Well, I think the one thing that we have done on this council that is a little bit different is everybody's come before us so far, we've asked them one question. Is the money staying in Sussex County?
Right.
And yours does not.
100% of it?
Correct. No, does not.
No, answers the question.
The scholarships that we give out may not go, because the child that accepts a scholarship may be going to Villanova. That money goes to
Villanova. But the child's here. That's a different story. You give, and they're all good causes. St. Jude's certainly isn't here.
No, but 22 children on the Eastern Shore alone are treated by the research done out of St. Jude's Hospital. Okay. And that's why we got involved.
That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to argue with you.
It's a unique event, a unique organization. You just said you booked 26 rooms?
16 rooms at the Comfort Inn now, and I've got 26 more to book. I think it's 26 or 27 I'm supposed to book this week.
Yeah, it's rare that any group that comes here seeking support, in which we use this criteria of the money staying here, is bringing in that much economic opportunity for our community. I think we need to bring this to a head. Mr. Cole, I believe I heard a motion to grant $5,000.
From Dave, do you have a suggestion, or Sue?
County
Council Medic Grant?
You could reduce it by 8% to 4,600, divide it up by 5, and do Council Medics. You could do 1,000.
I won't do that.
Okay. County Council Grants at this point has some funds that are small, left open, but no one... This might be the end of that category for the year. I mean, we didn't put in a lot of, we had like 30,000.
Yes, is it okay, David, to see if you got any problem with it? We made a motion.
But there is some there.
We don't really target right now where the money's coming from, but we just say that the council supports. In my motion would be that the council supports.
We could pay it
a $5,000 grant.
Yes,
and it could come from various sources as long as it gets the total of $5,000, that we don't have to make it part of the motion where the sources are.
While we find the money first.
That's what I say.
Question to Mr. Baker, is that possible legally?
We could fund it from county council mm-hmm. grants where the county, as I think Mr. Phillips mentioned earlier, we could fund it from contingencies, mm-hmm. transfer money into county council grants from contingencies to pay for it.
What kind of contingencies?
We have a budget contingency just in case anything comes up.
Is that what you want to do, Mr. Cole?
Yeah, I would like to fund it because it does have an economic punch to this county, and I think it's important that we continue supporting anything that is bringing such an economic benefit to this county, with the people who will come and visit, spend their money in motel rooms and dinners and just all the other things that, you know, the ripple effect. So I would say at $5,000, we support it.
Is there a second? Okay, there is no second, motion dies. Is there another approach that is anyone's
I'll make a motion we give $4,600.
To treat it equitably with the other organizations that traditionally have gotten funds from us with the 8% cut, $4,600. Is there a second?
I'll second.
I have a second by Mr. Vincent. Is there any discussion? Okay. We'll take the vote on the motion by Mr. Cole, second by Mr.
I thought we had to find out if we had the money first.
Nope. Mr. Baker made clear that the money is available.
Okay.
I have a motion and a second to allocate $4,600 to the World Championship Pumpkin Chunkin' Association in light of their economic development opportunities, economic impact opportunities, as articulated by Mr. Cole, and I have Mr. Vincent.
Could I amend the motion to require them to provide us, when they are all done, with a financial accounting?
Hear, hear.
Do you have an objection, Mr. Cole?
I can't speak for that organization to do that, sir.
Okay,
you don't have the authority to...
I do not have that authority.
Okay, I think what I'm hearing is the money is contingent upon us receiving that...
report.
A verification, audit, some letter from your organization, I guess.
Verification of what we did with your $4,600? I'm sure they would verify that. I can assure you that your $4,600 grant would be applied to the scholarship fund.
That may be Al's County.
Sussex County residents.
The Sussex County residents only.
In an organization that helps so many people and does so much, I don't know how else I could address
it. I think $4,600, I think we ought to just support it. There was a $20,000 gift not long ago. We didn't put these kind of strings on it. So I just say $4,600.
We've always said, George, money has to go back in this county.
It does. It the events in this county and a lot of this money.
We've always said that.
I can tell you that we can apply your $4,600 to the payment of prisoners that come out of Sussex Correctional Institute.
They're residents.
That's an $18,000 bill.
And they're
I can apply it to the state
your
police.
Constituents. They live
in I can apply it to the state police bill.
They live in your but district.
They've already got a place, room and board already there. So
I can apply the $4,600 to the land rent we paid to Mr. Wheatley for the farm.
Sam, it's so easy to apply the $4,600 anywhere you want.
I just can't tell you that by a financial
statement. We don't do it either, both yes or no.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. It does not appear that your motion or your amendment to the motion was accepted by Mr.
No,
Cole.
That's fine. No,
it is.
The $4,600. They're going to write us a letter, tell us where the $4,600 goes.
I'll apply it to any one of those agencies that we've mentioned. That.
I don't know where the problem's at.
Whether it be state police or DelDOT, but DelDOT's not in the county either because they're statewide.
I believe it. I believe it.
Do the best you can.
I can put it to the scholarship fund. I can apply that money to any one of these things that we do without any difficulty whatsoever.
Okay.
But right, that Mr. will satisfy your
Mr. Shea, I think the point is we want verification that the money's going to stay in Sussex.
Understood. And I understand. Yeah. That's why I'm asking. Okay. I will make sure I can speak for the organization in that behalf that if a letter from you saying we applied your money to scholarships that went to out of $20,000, $4,600 went to Sussex County students.
That'd be fine.
We can verify that.
Okay. Thank you. We will expect that. If there's no more discussion, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver.
The county has put tremendous assets into this event, and I believe that you ran it for quite some time and as an employee of the county.
So no, ma'am. I never ran it as an employee of the county.
Well,
I've always been a volunteer.
Told. That's what I was told.
No, ma'am.
That you ran it from your office here.
At the time that I used here mm-hmm. was always flexed out for whatever time we've done. Mrs. Webb and Mr. Baker, when they were my supervisors, are very well aware of that. I kept pretty stringent records of what I had done.
Mm-hmm.
And if I did 20 minutes worth of work here, I stayed and did another 20 or came in 20 or gave up my lunch to do that.
Well, that's not what I was told, and I'm sure you're right. But we have put money into this event, and it's been going on for years, and it's grown tremendously. And I think it's a great thing, but I think it's time for Pumpkin Chunkin' to stand on its own now. And it's public money that you're asking for, and I can't vote for that.
No, by Ms. Deaver. Mr. Vincent.
I do think it does certainly bring money into the county. This year, I will vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
No.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes, there is an economic development impact to the county from this event.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
hardest $4,600 you'll ever earn. Ms. Webb.
Okay. Town of Blades.
He ran it.
Make a motion to give $500 to Mike Mountain.
He just denies it.
Mr. Wilson, is that a second?
What was that for?
$500 from my account, Town of Blades, for Christmas.
Yes.
A motion and a second to give $500 from Mr. Vincent's account to the Town of Blades for the Christmas
second.
Bazaar. I already got the second.
Oh, you do? I'll vote yes.
Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Georgetown Millsboro Rotary.
$500 from my account, unless Mr. Wilson wants to help out.
Paid as he is.
What are we selling here?
Georgetown Millsboro Rotary. Emphasis on Georgetown.
How much you got in?
They want $500, but if you'd like to kick in a couple, I'll do three. Okay, $200 for Mr. Wilson, $300 for me. Mr. Wilson makes that motion.
I'll second.
Mr. Vincent seconds. We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Introduction of proposed zoning ordinances.
There are none.
And do we have no additional business brought before the council by the public? Council,
I want to
have anything
ask
else?
Ask
Ms.
You.
Deaver, you have the floor.
I asked Mrs. Webb about the weekly bill list. She says it's on the website.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if we could put this, our discretionary account disbursements and whatnot on the website, too.
I think they are.
Are they on the website? I didn't know.
At one point they were.
The discretionary grants are done with manual checks, and that manual checklist, I do not believe, is on the website.
Where am I seeing that? Is that something you're
saying? You get it through email.
Okay, that's it.
And the manual checks would include these discretionary grants.
Well, it's just something to think about.
I could put the whole manual checklist on.
If it's difficult, you know, but I just think that it's
not difficult.
It's a good thing that we've got the bill list on the website, and I just was hoping that we could, you know, include this as well.
Does any council member have objection? All right, do the best you can, Ms. Webb.
All right.
Anything else from council? Not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Dave, what time?